For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is a speaker of the evening. It's about time I got Jim Landry up here to minister this evening. He's from down at Beaumont, Texas, too. And he's been here for several camp meetings and the men's and the deliverance conference. He was here for that. And his wife's been here. Did she come for that too?
Yeah.
The ladies are invited to the minister deliverance sessions. So Jim, come up here and bless us this evening. Appreciate you, and a blessing to have you come and minister with us and for us.
Well, bless the Lord. We thank God. This is the normal hours around here, so I hope everyone is okay. We're going to get right on with it. Hope not to keep you here too late this evening. Friday night in Beaumont, we call it Friday Night Live. So I'm used to being up to late hours in the morning doing deliverance. We call it doing stuff. I remember I had a group over a few weeks ago, and there was a young baby on the front row, and I was just sort of priming the situation, getting it really primed up, and I had a few demons angry, and that baby just threw up all over the mother. I said, oh, I guess we better get started immediately. Father, we just thank you right now. We pray your will be done. Father, we just pray to bind the powers of darkness that will try to hinder this word from going forward. Father, we ask that you would move mightily, that you would set the captives free. And Father, I just pray no preconceived ideas here. Just whatever you want me to flow out to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you. Every one of you, as believers, have an anointing in you to cast out demons. Without exception, every one of you God wants to use to cast out demons. One of the things that we have to be considerate of is that we're going to have to die. We need to die. We need to die to self. Die to flesh. In fact, I was sort of kind of musing with the congregation a few weeks ago, and I said, why don't we change the name from Christ Outreach to Christ Crucifying the Flesh Group? I said, that'll run away a whole bunch of people, you know. So those people over there talking about dying to self, dying to flesh, and cross-bearing. I remember a few years ago, about 10 years ago, my wife was studying the scriptures, and she was saying, you know, Jim, the Lord is showing me that we need to do deliverance. We need to cast out demons. I said, what are you talking about? I never heard of that. Never heard of nothing like that. I said, we don't have any demons. A couple of nights later, we were on the floor. And this lady was moving like a little serpent. And I say, my God, what is she doing down there? And I saw my wife down there, too. I said, well, I better get on the ball, where, you know, get down there with her. So I got down there, and I grabbed a leg or two, you know, and I just, you know, went through the motion. I didn't know what was going on. I tell you what, I don't know if I was scared. I can't remember. It's too long ago. I know I'm not scared tonight. I can tell you that. This morning we were blessed. Brother Noel blessed us with the keys, the binding and loosing. This afternoon we were blessed with the Word of God, using the Word of God against the powers of darkness and being aware through deception. If you have the Word, then God's able to show you the deception of the enemy. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about works, perhaps the deliverance worker works, and your responsibility as a deliverance minister. I'm hoping to encourage you, because many of you here from all over the country, and Lake Hamilton here is here for you to come and to relax and to learn, to share, to be part of the deliverance ministry that's going out all over the world. And I started coming, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago, and I've just been so happy. I tell you what, I don't know how to explain it in words. I didn't know the Lord had places around the country like this where you can come in and you can just sharpen iron. And I am so happy. I'm really in prayer for the vision that the Millers have, and I'm in prayer for your ministries too, and it touches my heart when you come to me and tell me that you're in prayer for us. It really does. One of the things that we need to understand is that when we get started in the ministry of deliverance, God is going to give us enough victories to keep us going. He's going to also allow some defeats to keep us honest. Yes. We need to understand that it's not anything about what you're doing. It's about what God is doing.
Yes.
God wants to set his people free. He wants to set the captives free. He wants to set us all free. But you need to understand it's not your power. It's not your might. It's all about him.
Yes.
It's all about him. a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will answer God's total commission. They will completely surrender, and they will incorporate the deliverance ministry in their ministries. I would like to start in Matthew, the 12th chapter. I'm going to kind of skip around as the Holy Spirit leads me, because the night is drawing to an end here. So, in Matthew 12:28, the Lord said, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming unto you." Here it is clear that the casting out of evil spirits is an indication that the kingdom of God is present. I remember several years ago when the Lord called me to ministry, He gave me Luke 4:18. And I said, "Lord, you got to be kidding. You're not going to do that to me." I've been to the prayer lines. I've seen the hundreds of people go up there, and maybe one or two people get healed. In Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18, as Jesus was coming out of the wilderness, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." People, after being tempted 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus begins His ministry. What is a clear scripture, and it should be clear to all of us, what God's intention for His church today. He intended to set us free.
Yes.
He wants us to set others free.
Yes.
God has given us victory, but we're going to have to be honest with Him.
Yes.
I believe the Lord is preparing disciples. Will you answer this very important call? Have you considered joining the team? This is what this is all about here. This is so serious. This is so serious. You know, when you think about salvation, you know, many of you have led people to the Lord. If you hadn't, you should. It's a time where you can give someone something and you don't lose anything and they gain. But deliverance is similar to that. You're able to cry with an individual, love with an individual, share with an individual, casting demons out. And incidentally, when you cast them out of them, if they're in you, they're coming out of you. You must always remember that. When you think about deliverance, and I'm trying to issue you a challenge tonight to get involved in deliverance. It is so very serious to me. I am so committed. And I want to make sure that I leave that with you tonight, because I know how important it is that we are discipled as deliverance workers. Deliverance is, I guess you could picture it as being paratroops, I think someone had wrote some years ago, behind enemy lines and being thrown right in the midst of intense combat. And you're stuck out there and you must use spiritual warfare. If you're considering spiritual warfare and deliverance, then you're going to have to wing yourself by following the scriptures and getting away from the old defensive mode that many people have taught us.
Yes.
There are many people today that I have ministered to that take prayer cloths and hang them up on the house and around the trees, and others are bathing themselves in olive oil, and others are just pleading the blood, you know. It's because they have ministries that are very defensive. But a good soldier of the Lord is going to have an aggressive attitude. He's going to have an attitude of offensive warrior for the Lord. It doesn't matter how good a defense is, whether it be for some of us that have some experience in sports, football, basketball, baseball, track, or whatever you're doing. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. If you don't score, at best you're going to get is a tie out of the situation. And a tie is not good enough in God's kingdom. And if you don't practice an aggressive deliverance, be aggressive in your deliverance, in your prayer, and your warfare, then many will suffer unnecessarily.
Yes.
because of that. You're going to have to be aggressive. In Mark, the 16th chapter, and I know that most of these things that I'm going to share with you, you already know, but this is really what I feel like the Lord wanted me to share with you. I heard so many wonderful words here tonight, and I said, what do you want? And He said, no, this is exactly what I want you to do.
Amen.
And so there are different degrees of light here this evening. And so some of the scriptures I'm going to share with you in this next half hour, there is a lot more light in them. But for the sake of deliverance, the deliverance workers' responsibility, and basic understanding of the doctrines of deliverance, I'm going to keep it simple. Amen?
Amen.
And keep it simple. In Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 17, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In My name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Believers should cast out devils. It is a commission that's been given to you and I. Every one of you. It doesn't matter how old are you. You all, God wants to use you all in this very important ministry. Believers are to cast out demons.
Yes, amen.
All believers should be discipled. The Bible says, "And you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Now, that is a laying of hands and a supernatural event. That is a immediate manifestation of a healing. That's not a gradual healing here in this text. And that means that it's a good possibility that when you lay hands, it could be a demon is cast out and a person could receive healing. And immediately God's going to manifest that healing. The question is all sickness demons? And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't know. But I do know that much of the sickness has been a result of demonic interference and demonic oppression. And that if you would cast out the demons by the sickness name, you may get some results. You may be surprised. And then when in doubt, cast it out.
Amen.
When you have a situation where an individual is being brought to you and they have some unusual sickness that the doctors have told them that they've only had several cases in the country, one or two cases in your part of the state or so forth, a region, you should immediately start suspecting perhaps these are spirits or a curse or witchcraft. And I've had a number come to me with all type of things. Stuff come from the Far East and China, different parts of the world, okay? And immediately I suspect that this is a witchcraft, a curse that's operating here. In Acts the 20th chapter, verse 17, as Paul is giving his farewell to the Ephesian elders, he says in verse 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 26, "Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." As Paul is giving his farewell to the Ephesian elders, his records of his ministry, when he says that he has not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, I believe that that would include deliverance. I believe that that would include the healing of the sick. I believe that Paul didn't withhold any message to the Ephesian people there. In fact, if you're not casting out evil spirits, I believe that you're probably not lining up with the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
I think in Jeremiah, the 48th chapter, verse 10, it says, "Cursed be he who keeps back his sword from the blood." It is clear that this is a New Testament, and the New Testament would be a New Testament experience of spiritual warfare.
Yes.
I believe it has that, that relationship to the New Testament warfare warrior. In the 1 Corinthians of Paul, 1 Corinthians, Paul, as Paul goes to the Corinthian church, y'all bear with me here, because I'll tell you what, the hours have really stepped in here. Not midnight yet. I'll tell you, I taught at a large group here some months ago, as the Church of God in Christ. They called me over, and I spoke four hours. And the group, and this is more difficult here, because I know what God is doing here. So I am really stepping on holy ground here. So just give me a few minutes. We'll ease on in here and let the Holy Spirit have his way. But I spoke 4 hours over there. And the people that stayed there after dark and got healed. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. So I will be long-winded trying to smother it down is not part of my way of teaching normally. In the 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul's message to the Corinthians was demonstrated by his life in Christ Jesus. And the Lord confirmed his word with signs following people.
Yes.
One of the ways that God demonstrates his power and authority is through deliverance.
Yes.
How many professed ministers today practice this very important part of the ministry? I'm afraid not many. Not many at all. But I believe that God is preparing an army in these last days. I want to be part of that army. And I'm here to encourage you to be part of that army. People go to fellowship weekly, month after month. They never witness the power of God engage the enemy. They go to services week after week, month after month, year after year, and they never witness the power of God, not only engage the enemy, but they never see the demonstration of power of God within those ministries. And yet they remain there in those fellowships. It doesn't matter how learned those ministries are, how eloquent the minister, he's there to the sermon, and possibly here behind the strings of denominational red tape, depending upon the wisdom of men. And every one of us have faced that in some regard, as God has called us out into this wonderful ministry of setting the captives free. I believe God is putting an end to this in these last days, that He's raising up pastors, He's raising up elders. I believe God is raising up believers, yes, you and I, all over the world with the knowledge of deliverance.
Yes.
Amen? People is more to deliverance also than placing, as I witnessed on 2020, I guess about 4 years ago, placing a wooden crucifix on somebody's forehead. I think it's more to deliverance than throwing holy water on somebody. And surely it's more than deliverance than making them drink a bunch of olive oil. And I'm surprised, I'm slightly embarrassed to tell you that I probably tried all those things 10, 15 years ago. Making a sign of the cross on the captive's individual's head. These are all unscriptural techniques that religious folk have come up with.
Yes.
And the devil is eating this up. This is all surface deliverance. And, you know, I'm bringing it where I think it needs to be right now. I would like to take it on another, degree. But I think this is really what's necessary right now. So I happen to humble myself to teach this like this. And I think that the Lord is blessing us because in these last days, He's raising up truth. Amen? And we must practice scriptural deliverance with our revelations coming directly to us from the Holy Spirit and not use those ancient ritual customs that come from you-know-who.
Yes.
And the devil. Amen? How important do you think Jesus thought deliverance was? In Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 38, Mark 9:38. And John answered him, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. Jesus taught very clearly, Do not forbid the casting out of evil spirits. Now I want you to understand that I go a lot of places, and they may be doing deliverance a little different than perhaps I do it, okay? But it doesn't matter what light they're in, sun, moon, or star, it doesn't make any difference. I'm able to work with them, and if they don't know that I know what I know, that might be able to help them. I can work a distance away and still support what they're trying to do.
Right.
I never usurp authority, and if they don't discern what gifts are there, then so be it. But I'm not going to just abandon the work unless they're hollering around there using witchcraft. But if they're sincere trying, I'm going to sit in the little corner, and I'm going to help them. And we don't want to get the attitude. I was coming out of one of the northern states some years ago at a workshop, and I went into a cafeteria, and there was a lot of deliverance ministers. They didn't recognize me. Can you believe that? I stand out over here pretty much. But anyway, they didn't recognize me from the big deliverance workshop. And they were talking about, we ought to deliver the lady was working the waitress, and they wanted to deliver everybody. Oh, look at her. She needs to be delivered. And they were talking about all the things that the church wasn't having. And I said, my God, I went home. It humbled me because I said, I definitely won't ever be like that. The only person, as my pastor taught me, the only person that we have to boast about is Jesus. I saw dangers there. I see why some of the things I've heard in reports later have come to pass. This is a ministry where you need to really be decreasing, And I can get up here and I can put it up there. I know how to put it out there. But I'm humbling myself right now because I want to see you get some freedom, and I want to see you get some deliverance. This is very serious.
Yes.
And if I have to look ignorant or clumsy or whatever, then so be it, But the key is I want to make sure we get the point over tonight that I mean business. And if you mean business, then I want to transfer that gift, that anointing. And incidentally, there's no gift to cast out devils, okay? But there is a gift of faith. All right. And so I want you to have whatever is necessary to put you out on the battlefield.
Yes, hallelujah.
In Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus cast demons out of the temples of God. In Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no way lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Now, if you were in this morning service, or perhaps this afternoon service, these scriptures were already covered. Let me point out to you that in this situation, Jesus simply loosed the captive. She was already bound. There will be times where you may use the keys for binding only or loosing only. It won't always be, I rebuke you, bind you, Satan, come out. All right? Also, I want to point out in verse 14 how these Pharisees were so full of displeasure at what Jesus had done. Many are displeased because of deliverance today also.
That's right.
So I want you to know it's coming. if you hadn't faced it, it's coming. I remember Brother Dean, they have pastors meeting every Thursday, and I'm not so faithful to that because I'm traveling a lot. And incidentally, he's my overseer, direct overseer. I have our pastor assembly on the other side of town. And some of the pastors had met with him and asked him, said, Brother Dean, why isn't one a deliverance worker come to town? If the whole church just want to talk deliverance, 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 deliverance. And he took him right to Mark 16 and told him, because it is the believer's ministry. I'll tell you what, I'm afraid what will happen to some of these overseers today that forbid deliverance in those churches. Why shouldn't the believers get excited when we talk about casting out demons and healing the sick? Hey, man, everybody can do that. You don't have to be no PhD to do that. No, you're not. That you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwell in you. The Lord desires to deliver us. When a spirit of infirmity, as was in this young lady here, is in a person's temple, until you cast out the spirit, there's normally no healing. However, God can heal despite the presence of demons. So don't get caught up in that. There may be some areas inside our temples that's forbidding God from manifesting the healing in our lives. One of the things that we should ask Him what it might be. Some of the things that could hinder you from receiving the healing could be unforgiveness. I mean, if you just got the slight thought of unforgiveness, it's unforgiveness. It could be fornication. It could be curses passed down. It could be sins of the fathers. Because of the occultic past, you might have been involved in the occult, playing with Ouija boards and so forth. It could even be the chains around your neck or the tattoos on your arm. I never forget, I was ministering to a lot of people coming out of prisons. I don't have a prison ministry, my wife does, but they tend to come from all different places. And this man had this big dagger on his hand, on the inside of his arm here, and I started coming against the tattoo spirit. He could feel it crawling on his arm. And while I was dealing with him, he had one out in the audience out there, had a big tattoo in his hand. He could feel it crawling on his arm. So I wouldn't just take it for granted because you're born again now. I'd go after the tattoo spirits, think it might be considered. I saw this. I saw what God was doing there. And there's a lack of knowledge. And many, many, many other reasons why you may not be, are the people that, I tend to minister as though I'm teaching teachers to teach others. Those individuals that come for you for help, there may be a number of reasons why they're not getting their healings or their deliverances expediently. And so you need to take time out and counsel with them. We need to be honest with the Lord. We are God's spiritual temples. The Lord desires to free His people up. And He wants us freeing other people in Jesus' name. Amen? Jesus also drove demons out of the synagogues, the sanctuaries. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, excuse me. Well, I tell you what, when Brother Miller and the elders asked me to speak some months ago, well, I thought about everything. I said, we're going to get on the vine, man. We're going to teach about the Orishas from Africa. I had all kinds of stuff. And I got home, the Lord said, you're just going to teach a basic deliverance.
Amen.
I said, well, okay, that's fine with me. Been working real good for 10 years. Amen. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 12, is a picture of Jesus driving the demons from the temple. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them, all of them, that sold and brought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them.
Hallelujah.
It is a clear picture here that these traitors were operating in a spirit called the lust of money. But it's something else here that the Lord showed me some time ago concerning this spirit here and their misappropriation of the funds there in the temple. He showed me that that was a spirit in there called the root of all evil. For the lust of money is the root of all evil. So when Jesus came in that temple, the root of all evil was there. That's what I believe. I believe that was there. But you know, when Jesus came in, He bound them and they had to cease their works. And when Jesus comes in the house of prayer and the places where we minister at and the prayer meetings in our homes, the enemy's presence should be immediately bound and excused out, should be deported, should depart. When we meet for fellowship, it should be primarily for that purpose. It shouldn't be for a place to sell off raffle tickets or auction off cakes. And you've seen these ministries that can milk the crowds for all type of money. Oh, they know how to milk the crowds. But Jesus cast out those money changers. He cast them out of the temple also, the synagogue. And then he beckoned those that were sick, and he called them in, and he healed them. Now, I wonder why there's not so much healing taking place inside the assemblies of God today. And I think it's because of that spirit, the root of all evil, and the lust of money is present. My question is tonight, are we taking the spoils? As deliverance workers, we ought to be taking the spoils. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, Doc spoke about it, and Sister Coffey spoke about it. So let me take you to a scripture in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 29, which reads, "Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Are we taking the spoils from the enemy, or is the enemy spoiling us? In fact, the enemy's spoils ought to be our goods. Oh, yes. You remember the battle here in, with Jehoshaphat when the three nations came against him, 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and God told him that the battle is not yours but mine, and he sent them out there, and he sent the singers out there. The singers start singing, and God loosed a spirit of confusion upon those groups, and they like piranha fish, went at each other, the first two nations, and after they had destroyed, I think, Mount Seir, they went after each other until everyone was totally destroyed. The scriptures say that they spent 3 days picking up the spoils. It became their goods. Spoils are sicknesses, sorrows, brokenness, rejections. Goods are health, happiness, being fixed, and understanding that you've been accepted in the beloved. And so we need to do deliverance because the enemy is trying to hold the spoils. And God's saying, it's your goods. I've seen a number of people at our own assembly that had high blood pressure and things like that, and that was spoils. And they got delivered. God delivered those people. Oh, I tell you, ain't God good?
Amen.
He has goods for us.
No.
Amen. Are we taking the goods that God has provided for us? Or have we allowed the Goliath spirits to cast us into exile? I was doing some study on Goliath and his four brothers and their relationship and deliverance. And in one of the books, looking at Goliath's name, it meant exile. And I said, well, that's a new one for me. And I could see Goliath up there defying the army of the Lord. And God has said, I promise you the promised land. And Goliath is saying, you can't have it. And he's standing up before them. And here Israel had been promised the promised land. And Goliath is telling them, unless you're going to be a slave, go and find you another country. And isn't that what somebody who's in exile does? He has to leave from his home. Are we going to allow the enemy to just take over us? Or are we going to take it back? God has given you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He saved you so that you can take the grounds back. Now that's another message in itself.
Amen.
These are the promised lands now. These are the temples that God inhabits. Amen?
Amen?
In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen." People, are we developing disciples to go out into all the nations? Are we really sincerely doing that? I think that here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, that they are fulfilling that great commission. I believe that they have given their lives and given their all in all to see to it that this ministry goes out into all the world. And they need your prayer. And they need your financial support. The Lord said He's given us power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. He said also nothing would either harm us. No hurt would come unto us. Jesus gave all the believers His power and His authority. You should search those words. They have two different implications. Religious folks have substituted this power with their very important traditions. And I think Satan's seducing spirits are the responsibility here, or the responsible ones here at work. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 1, we've all heard about those who say, well, it all went out with the 12 disciples. As soon as John gave up the ghost, the 550 people standing in line all had to go back. It was over with. No more healing. That's why I spend most of my time ministering in the Church of Christ. For some reason, God's given me favor with a lot of them. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them. And they have been to some of the teachings. They just don't quite understand what I'm talking about yet. In Luke 10, 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Amen? Verse 9, and heal the sick that are there, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. I believe that the Lord intended for us to be discipled, not just the 12, but all believers ought to be discipled.
Yes.
Discipled. I think that it would be helpful, and I think in the scripture that we would go out 2 by 2. I think that we should be very cautious on how we minister deliverance, especially to the opposite sex. I've known of situations in ministry where brethren have gotten in trouble, and because they won't honor God's will, and have chose to minister to females alone, and a number of other situations I've heard around the country, I would suggest you don't do that.
Amen.
I would suggest you have your wife, and I have several people at our assembly that when my wife is not here, just like she's not here tonight, that will work with me, I can call immediately, that will show up and help, and they understand the situation. I had one situation here where an individual came from an assembly for help, and the elder back there got a little tired. It was probably 12 or 1 in the morning, and he decided he was going to creep out the back door. So he just got up, and he just sort of turned around and creeped out the back door, and she never turned around. She was steady talking to me, and as soon as he walked out, he closed that door. She said, well, you got a wife. I ain't got nobody to go home to. And boy, did me and him have a good talk the next day. In the ninth chapter of Luke also, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus gave his disciples power and authority. Jesus has given you young people out there, he's given you power and authority to cast out devils over all demons and to cure diseases in his name. And people, let me also explain something. You don't pray a demon out, okay? You cast them out. And in fact, Jesus never prayed for the sick. He just healed the sick. Amen? Search the scriptures. Those that believe that a believer cannot be demonized by a demon cast the full responsibility of various problems that believers are having directly upon their flesh. Then they go to the Christian counselors. The counselors tell them that they just need to crucify the flesh. And if that would be the problem, and if that was all they need to do, many of those people would be healed immediately. But deliverance workers immediately suspect the presence of demons, and they attack it in that perspective. This is why it's so important that we get involved in deliverance, because so many people are dying today because they're suffering with pains in their bodies. How many Christians do you think die daily because of demonic activity in their bodies or their minds? I'll tell you a whole lot that shouldn't be happening. It should not happen. Where do we find the names of evil spirits? Some people may not believe in the listing of demons. Well, if God uses you and gives you all the names, great. I don't have a problem with that. However, most of those who say that, not all, are not getting out very, you know, many demons. And so if you're looking at scriptures, there's a whole lot of listings in Galatians. For the sake of time, I'm just going to call them out. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, 19, it talks about the 17 works of the flesh. And if that one of them manifests, I guarantee it's a demon. And then there are many underlying spirits under those strong men that are listed. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and Ephesians, the 4th chapter. In fact, people from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation are names after names after names and more names of demon spirits. A month doesn't go by where I find a new one. I thought I'd read it over and over again and studied over again. And I ran across one in a city 15 miles south of Beaumont. And this spirit manifests the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And he manifested and let me know who he was. And so those spirits are manifesting. But, you know, as believers, we're going to have to pray and ask God for discernment. If he's going to put us in the ministry of casting out devils and this very important ministry is going to be added to the ministry that we have, then you need to pray for discernment. I tell you, you can't have just an attitude that you're going to go at it the way you want to go at it. I remember an individual come, and I came into the back room back there, and the pastor and his wife, and they had brought a lady over for deliverance. And I had just done deliverance at the assembly, and I assure you I wasn't as rigid as I am right now. But y'all love me anyway. I just understand what God is doing here. I see it long after I'm going off this earth. I see what he's done here, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for what God is doing. And so, but I remember in there when I was doing the deliverances, cats crying out and everything. You can have animals burst all out and that, all that, boy. And I tell you what, we're having a good time. I mean, just a field day. And so I had to serve this spirit in this lady. So anyway, they brought her over to the office a week or so later. She sat down. I came in. I walked in the door there, and that demon cried out, and he said, "You are not getting us out of here." I say, "Half the problem is already solved. You talking, so you showing yourself. We know who you are." And so anyway, while I'm ministering to this lady, her eyes got to roll. Y'all excuse my little glasses here. It got the rolling eyes and just looking and just, boy, this big seductive eyes. I mean, and I couldn't get him out of my manual. He was just reading. And the wife was trying to help me. She's trying to help. And I'm looking at him, and the Lord said, "Not yet." I said, "Well, okay." And she was just looking at him, oh, man, just like, oh, she's just as seducing as you can get, boy. And finally, this pastor took his eyes out of the book. I did teach him to follow along in the book, but I had stopped using the book. And so finally, he looks at me, and he looks at the lady, and the lady rolled her eyes, and I said, "Now, Lord." The Lord said, "Yes, now." I say, "How old are you?" That demon said, "I'm 5. No doubt 5 years before, for sure, I would have been out there with the rest of the boys, and we would have been saying lust, 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 and not incest, child abuse, or rape. And so you have to depend upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to give you discernment on what spirits are manifesting. Remember, Satan is a master of deception. I probably need to take all this and throw it in the trash. Satan is a master of deception. And he will use every scheme, while, as Doc was mentioning earlier, device, every craftiest kid he can. And he's only going to try to reveal to you something that you are willing to accept. That's what he wants to do. So I would caution you not to just take every surface manifestation as a book cover. I wouldn't. Just when the people manifest and tell you things, I would be very cautious to just take it. I would not. Now, sometimes the enemy will tell you what the Lord told him to tell you. I want to be very cautious not to say the truth. But you know, some people have a problem with the listening of spirits, and I don't have a problem with it. And I think that I was going to do something earlier, and when I went back to the room, the Lord told me, "No, you're not going to do that tonight." And I said, "Well, okay." There are many deliverance prayers that I've memorized over the years. But when I teach, and when I'm teaching new people, I always use the manuals and the instructions so you can say, "Well, how did you do that?" So just go ahead and buy the book. There it is right there. Okay, that's what disciples is all about. We're trying to get you trained. But after a period of years, or months for some of you, most of these warfare prayers and commands you will have memorized, and you'll be able to go forward like that. So if you have a problem with the listening of spirits right now, I ask you to just reconsider that. Now, deliverance is no substitution for the crucifying of the flesh. You cannot cast the flesh out. Amen? Right. Deliverance is no substitution for forgiveness. You got to forgive somebody, you need to forgive. That demon ain't going to budge. It's not going to budge out the individual you're ministering to. It's no substitution for repentance, for self-discipline, for prayer, for ministry to God. Deliverance has its place. It's not all of it, but it has its part in God, its part in God's overall plan, and part in our ministry to ourselves and to others. In Luke, the 13th chapter, let me warn you of something that you may be confronted with. Many of you are blessed because you're in ministries where they practice deliverance, and you're getting very little opposition from the overseers or whatever in that staff. But that doesn't mean that you won't be attacked, that the foxes are not going to come after you, your family, friends, whatever. In Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 22, "And he went through the cities and villages, journeying towards Jerusalem." In verse 31, he says, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out, and depart from here, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out demons, and I do cures today, and tomorrow, and the third day, I shall have finished." You know, I look at this passage, there's a lot you can get out of this, but for the sake of the deliverance worker tonight, let's just look at basic teaching. I see Jesus here under serious threat. The same Herod that had killed John the Baptist, his cousin, the Pharisees said that would just come and get Jesus. So I think it was a very sincere threat, and I believe that the Lord could have said any number of things. I have 5,000 people out here to feed, and might have kind of put a little pressure on Herod a little bit because he's got all these people out here, and if he can't go get Jesus now. He could have said, "Well, we're going to have a large eating, and we need to minister to some people for sickness tonight. We've got 12,000 people out there in the fields." And Herod might have kind of been like, you know, it checked a little bit. "I better not go over there right now and send the soldiers because we'll have a problem." But under the most severe, severe attack on his life at this point in his ministry, Jesus turns around and tells him that, "You go tell a fox, I'm going to cast out devils." Now, if he thought it was important, I think we ought to. So, you know, I just look at it real simple application. We can come up with a whole lot. It depends on what we're going to teach about that night. But I think that foxes are going to come against you. I think foxes spoil the vine, and Jesus is the vine. And I don't think any one of us is better than Jesus. So it's clear that when you look at foxes, they are a type of demonic spirit, a false prophet. But they're there to spoil the vine. They're there to spoil Jesus. And they want to spoil the Christ in you. I think as God is opening your understanding to the ministry of deliverance, foxes are going to come against you also. Only being Christ-like will help you to endure to the end. You see, people, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He doesn't want you to fear. He's given you power, what? Love and a sound mind. Am I saying making any kind of sense there? Getting you encouraged to do deliverance? In John the 14th chapter, verse 12, and we hear a lot about this scripture all around the country right now. This is a big-time scripture around the world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, there's a lot of works that are going on out in the world today. All in they say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say that there are greater works ministry. But my question to you is, how can it be a greater works ministry when they have never done the very same basic works that Jesus did? I mean, I see things, you know, big programs at this, down in the city and a number of other programs where they call in all of them together and they call it this kind of group and this kind of group and the men and the women and everybody's getting together and they call it a greater works ministry, but I don't practice any deliverance. They don't do the very same works that Jesus did. And so if you kind of caught off into that, you know, and you're interested in getting some of these big programs because it looks like it's God, then I beg to differ. I think you might want to reconsider what men are saying are greater works. In fact, there's no great men out there anyway. Just men greatly used. So I think you ought to reconsider that. And that's all starting to come to light. Yeah. I think if you want to look at a greater works ministry, you ought to look at Lake Hamlin Bible Camp. That's what I think. I see it as a greater ministry, a greater works ministry. And I support them in my love and my prayer and financially. And I think that we want to look for greater works ministries. I think we need to take eyes off some of the things that are being promoted around this country and on TV that are not doing the very same works.
That's right, brother.
And since we went so quick, and I had no idea I was going to go that quick, I think we ought to reconsider some of the things that we might be seeing on TV. Because a lot of the ministry you've seen on TV is all of propaganda, promoting their ministries. I mean, you don't even have to believe that Christians have demons to get a demon to manifest on the stage and everybody think, Brother Jim Landry is in deliverance. You see no TV, they were casting out demons. This man don't even believe that Christians got them. You need to reevaluate their doctrines. Really, you should. Just because somebody on TV is showing a demon coming out doesn't mean they believe Christians have them. All people that's in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter what denomination, believe there's a Satan. And they just say God is purging people and all kinds of other things. Okay, so you need to really evaluate that. I think that if we're going to look at the ministry of deliverance and consider it as part of our ministry unto God and ministry unto His people, that the Lord is going to require for us to be faithful, obedient. He's going to require a complete commitment to Him. He desires dedication as a soldier in the United States Army. He intends for us to be dedicated to, as a soldier in His Army. And we should have a complete attitude to be completely surrendered to Him, willing to put our lives on the line. Yeah. I've had demons tell me, I'll kill you. And I say, you can't kill a dead man. I'm already dead. You know. And so if you have a little problem right there, just hook up with some elders or some other brothers and sisters who's in deliverance. And remember, when you're called out and you're chosen like that, even though you may tie up with a group or tie up with an individual, you know, my pastor, Brother Dean, and I are not only have a ministry relationship, we have a friendship, but we don't cross each other's anointings. I don't question those anointings. We might question the word, but we haven't had much there to question in the last 10 years. But the point I'm saying is that you remain loyal to your Lord.
Yes.
Because He may ask you or tell you to go or do somewhere where these other people may not want you to go.
That's right.
Or to do. You need to be responsible to God. We ought to be deliverance workers. Finally, let's look at Revelation, the 22nd chapter. No, Tommy, I'm not going to talk about end times. For the grace of God, I made it through this. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Many have taken out deliverance and have substituted their traditions and abandoned this very important part of the ministry. As Brother Noel says all the time, sometimes we have to lose our dignity and we have to obey God's direction.
Yes.
In order for the ministry to reach its growth and potential as God wants it to reach in you. I was here last meeting, and I was an individual, and he wanted to talk to me about how he was being oppressed in his ministry, how he couldn't do what he wanted to do. And, of course, out of love, I just lied with Sharon, and I issued him a few scriptures there and some correction. But I'm going to tell you something. I know who called me. And as I don't know a man on earth, and I will submit to the elders easily. That's the easy job for me. I couldn't believe I was up here, and I thought, Tom. But I'll tell you this, I know who saved me, and I know what he's told me to do. And there's not a man on this earth that will stop me from casting out devils and healing the sick. There's not a man out here. There's no one can do it. In fact, there's not even a demon that can stop me. There's no demons that will stop me from doing that. And so you have to make up your mind. You're going to learn this very important part of the ministry, but we don't want you to become Pharisee about it. You know, walk up there in his face and say, you won't let me, I'm going, no. When the Lord separated me from one work, it was gentle, and I have a good report of that ministry. You can go check on all the works that I was involved in, and in my short salvation experience up to calling to ministry, and you would not get one negative report. Now, they all scared me for proselyting because I don't proselyte, but people want to come all the time and get free. And up to 3 years ago, we never had membership. We still don't, but we told people that we don't join here. You can't stay. You just come in, get help, we'll train you, go. Because I knew the pastors around town were scared.
Uh-huh.
So then we went and bought a building a few years ago, so we had to start letting people come in. But we still don't have them come up here and join nothing. But I knew they were scared and very afraid of this very important ministry. And the demons will tremble at the name of Jesus in you if you answer the call to ministry. Amen?
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, this is the last scripture I'm going to share with you. 1 Corinthians, 6th chapter, verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he who is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is outside the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body.
Yes.
What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. People, there may be some things in you that you don't even know are there. It could have gotten there before salvation. And I'm speaking about sexual problems. We don't know what laps we set on. I was working with an individual here a couple of weeks ago. Young man said he'd been thinking he was a girl since he was a boy. And he had one homosexual affair, and he had the courage because of the defilement to go to his mother and tell her. And they brought him over, and we sat down, and I just shared with him and loved him. Took him through some basic deliverance prayers. I knew it was going to take time for me to minister to this young man. And I'm sorry I have to report at this time that he hasn't returned, and neither has his mother. And these are some of the things that you're going to face in ministry. Don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. Believe me, you may have been one of the victims that sat on the wrong person's lap. There are a number of sexual sins that we could have been involved in. I'm sure we all were involved in some before, and hopefully none after we were saved. Some of the sexual sins can have been a result of the sins of the fathers, soul ties with individuals that you have had relationships with that you have not broken the soul ties. And when I look at the crowd, I would assume that all of this, what I'm talking about, you have done. I remember one time my wife was coming out of the shower, and she looked just like my other wife that before I was saved in the flesh. I say, my God, we've got to deal with this demon quick. And I thought I had broken soul ties properly and all of this. And this was something like a 15-year, 20-year span. So, you know, there's no reason for me to even have any interest whatsoever. I hadn't even seen the person probably in 15 years. But yet, the spirit was still there. Sometimes we just take things for granted. Some of us might have been involved in sexual abuse. Some of us might not even be conscious or aware of it. It could be locked down in our subconscious. I've ministered to people, and when the Lord opened up their subconscious, they could just see it just as clear as day, and they just, you know, cried, and we had to deal with that thing. And females, ministering around men. We all up here, and we work and everything. Do you ever feel like perhaps that old John is looking at me, you know? And you men that want to lay hands on the females and still getting soft erections? I'm pretty straight up around the group I'm at. You know, I'm just straight up. And I have to be somewhat cautious here, of course. But we talk about these things. And I think that sexual sins is something that we need to deal with, need to look at. Some of you have been in some of the ministries, and they were praising the Lord, and people's hands get out of control, and the fingers start trembling. And I learned years ago these were manifestations of masturbation spirits. And there are a number of other manifestations of sexual sins. But now you're saved. And that's all behind you. And that's wonderful. You have no interest whatsoever getting involved in fornication or adultery. Yet, some of the problems that we are having today as a result are because of our lifestyles before we came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so for that reason, I'm going to do some deliverance short on sexual spirits. And I know this is the area, as Doc mentioned earlier, that no one wants to cough. So I'm not going to even ask you to cough, you know. But if you want to give up these demons, fine. I could tell you I'm pretty much living this epistle. I usually put my life on the line. I really don't care. I've lost all that, you know, the pride and all that. I really, frankly, don't care. But I've probably done everything you could ever think about, even pimps. Done everything you can even conceive in your mind. Okay? Everything. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to talk about it, to tell people about it, if it's going to help free one individual. If it's going to help free one individual. And so here in this area, you might say, well, I think I'll just swallow that one back down when he comes up. Well, the demon's got x-ray vision. And they'll know that you're swallowing it back down. And some of you guys out there that know you're getting these erections and things like that, you know, need to deal with it. You say, well, man ought to have one every morning. Well, I don't know about that. I don't. And I believe you can be delivered from that. And all of the heat flashes and all, I believe you can be delivered from all that. I think that we ought to get some deliverance from those areas. But importantly, we've all had some life before Christ. It wasn't a good life. And we thank God that He saved our life. But we all had some area where we were entertained by the demons. Whether it was through the Sears and Roebuck magazine, that's what we had when we were boys. We had the good old JCPenney, Sears and Roebuck. All you had to do is turn to the what they call it, underclothes area? Lingerie. And that was the Playboy of the 60s. And I never forget me and my sidekick cousin, and he named his name on his car, Sweet Jesus. You know what kind of trouble we was in. Nothing but the grace of God saved me, because me and Sweet Jesus, that's all we hounds, and traveled all up down the country. And it's by the grace of God. Somebody put a curse on me. And I had a wart that grew up on the side of my penis. And when I got into deliverance, I think either Wynn Worley or Brother Dean was breaking curses. That thing fell off. I said, my God, I couldn't wait to go home and show my wife. But that's what I was saying. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You can get delivered from herpes and warts and all of that, you know. And I tell the people at the assembly, I get to tell all the things you never hear about when I leave town. Wow. I know I won't be invited back here to teach. Amen. Okay. Well, let's get a little serious. We're going to put on our warfare hat so we can move on. Trey Mike's okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Satan, I'm attacking you from our position in Christ Jesus, which is in the third heaven, where we're seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all your principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and He has given us, the believers, that very same power and authority. And in Jesus' name, I bind all strong men, commanders of legions, ruler demons, lesser demons, servant demons, underlings, and all co-hosts, and all doorkeepers demons that are harassing every individual present, keeping them in bondage. I bind your powers and command you foul spirits of all sexual spirits, sexual demons, to line up in rank and file and start leaving in an orderly fashion without renting any individual present. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and I cut and sever every spirit in the family of sexual spirits from Satan and from one another, so you can hang, you can't hang on to any one of the demons inside of those individuals for help, comfort, or support. I also cut you asunder from every area of the mind, the soul, the emotions, from all five senses we know of and those that are unknown. I cut and sever you from all the muscles, ligaments, tendons, nerves, sinews, tissues, and from the vertebrae, the discs, and all portions of the spinal cord, from every organ and limb. I wash you and purge you from every area of this body of Christ with the blood of Jesus. I sever between the conscious, unconscious, subconscious mind so all things of the past can be released. I bind and stir up the power of demons, the strong men and the ruler demons in every part of the mind, soul, and body, and I throw confusion and weakness into your ranks. I command every demon in the category of the sexual sins to come out of darkness into light. And you do that now. Now I bind all the spirits and all the family spirits of sexual spirits directly to the authority of Jesus Christ and His divine judgment. And in Jesus' name, I command every one of you to leave, along with all your memories, roots, scars, works, nests, and habits. In Jesus' name. Now you evil spirits, as I call your name, you're going to come out of me. You're going to come out of every individual here. In Jesus' name. Because of the backgrounds and our lifestyles before Christ, many of us received abortion spirits because of the various birth control devices we were using. We have multiple abortion spirits. In Jesus' name, come out of the people. Every abortion spirit, I break your power. I break your evil power, possession, authority over the people of God here. Every abortion spirit, those spirits that bring murder, premeditated murder, in Jesus' name, you'll come out. I remember I was ministering with my sister. We wasn't saved, and she was having a child, pregnant, and she came to me as our elder brother for counsel before I was a Christian. And after we talked, I told her that yeah, it sounds like a good idea. You better go ahead and get rid of it now. Oh yeah. And then a year or two later, I got saved. Oh, I stayed before the Lord's face. Do you know? My sister and I, I got in touch with her, and she got in touch with me. We kind of like ran to each other. And she said, I said, I need to talk. She said, yeah, we need to talk. I said, okay. And so I got with her, got to her home, and told her I was sorry that what I had done and how I had assisted her in the murder of her child. And she said, yeah, the Lord has showed her the same thing. And we both repented, and we cried, and we broke the curses, because I had that information, that knowledge at the time. And then she came over to the assembly, and I baptized her. Man, if you'll just be honest with God, man, God will take care of your business. He'll straighten out everything. But if you're ashamed to speak of it, like, you know, you can't withhold it. I'm putting it out here. I'm putting it out here like it is. All of you abuse spirits, sexual abuse, come on out of there. Child abuse, come out of the people. Come out of there. Abuse, come out. Abuse of the body, abuse of the mind, body destruction, destruction. All the spirits of victims of abuse, come out, come out. Addiction to ungodly sex, come out. Adult child sex, come out. Spirits of adultery, come out. Fornication, come out. Anal sex, come out. Oral sex, come out. Deviant sex, come out. Unnatural sex, come out in sodomy. Come out of there. You lying demons that talk to the minds of the men, telling them that they're girls, come out. And vice versa to the girls that they're men. You come out of those minds right now. You come out of them right now in Jesus' name. Come out of there. You spirits of animal sex with humans. Well, I had somebody disagree with this, bestiology and beastology. Which one would you prefer? We got into a big one over that. Come out in Jesus' name. Just come out. All the bad habits, come out. Barrenness, infertility, postponed and delayed pregnancy, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Every one of you in Jesus' name. Now all the birth control spirits that came in from all the methods employed by birth control, I cast out the spirits by the named IUDs. Come out. Commercial brands of pregnancy prevention pills. Every one of you. Come out of the people in Jesus' name. Spirits of bisexuality, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Block climax. Come out in Jesus' name. I had a couple work with us for a year. And finally they had enough integrity to come and talk to me and say, listen, we have never consummated our marriage. I said, really? I said, well, I knew what it was. You got masturbation spirits. I said, yeah, that's all we do is mutually masturbate each other. And Matt Cheatham came down from Chicago or wherever Matt lives. And I told Matt about it because that was about the same week they were revealing it to me. And Matt loved them and ministered to them. And they were able to go home and consummate their marriage after a whole year. All they were doing was gorging themselves with candy bars and masturbation. My goodness. So, if you're practicing masturbation, the mutual masturbation, It's going to drive down the natural drive that God has put in the man and the woman. Block female friendship, come out. Block male friendship, come out. Block godly sex, come out. Block pregnancy, come out. Spirits of bondage, demonic bondage, satanic bondage, and ungodly bondage, come out in Jesus' name. I command you to come out. Bondage to ungodly sex, come out. Bondage to ungodly sex partners, come out in Jesus' name. Now the spirits of brutal sex, rough sex, wicked sex, cruel sex, and cruelty, come out. My goodness, everybody's got pretty good deliverance from the first two sessions. That's wonderful. I think that's why the Lord gave me this one here. This is a real challenge here. I'm not going to get any kind of notoriety out of this one for sure. This is a real one. Spirits of child abuse, come on out of here. Sexual abuse, child molestation, come on out of there. Child molestation, come out in Jesus' name. Childish incest, childhood incest, not a spirit of concupiscence, that strong sexual desire, come out. Let us go in Jesus' name. Conditional love, come on out of there in Jesus' name. Every one of you, come out in Jesus' name. Control spirits, spirits of corruption, confusion, come out. All the cursing spirits, dirty mouth, dirty thoughts, filthy mouth, nasty mouth, nasty mind, nasty thoughts, profanity, vulgar, filthy communication, and bad language. Come out. Come out of the people in Jesus' name. Now you deem it a dark enticer. Entices men to sex. Enticement and solicit. Come out in Jesus' name. Dedicated Lucifer sex. Every one of you, you come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of defilement. Defiling the body. Depravity. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of depression, come out. Desire for sex, desire for ungodly sex, come out in Jesus' name. Desire to be an opposite, was a transvestite, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Destruction, self-destruction, body destruction, mind destruction. Now the spirit of the dirty old man, come on out of there in Jesus' name. Now all the diseases, all the sexual diseases that came by way of contact, by the demons that came in there as a result of the sexual diseases being transmitted, all the spirits of AIDS, I command you to come out. I break your power, all the chancroids, all the syphilis, herpes, gonorrhea. Come on out in Jesus' name. Every one of you come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Vaginal infection, vaginal irritation, vaginal swelling, vaginal soreness, and all other sexual-related diseases. Come out of the people. Come out of the people in Jesus' name. Every one of you in Jesus' name. Emotional pain, emotional scars, emotional hurts, deep hurts and hurt feelings. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. False climax, false compassion. Come out of there. False ejaculation, false erection, false love. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Fear of pain, fear of pregnancy. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Fear of pregnancy. Come out. Fear of rape. Fear of sex. Fear of godly sex. Fear of sex in the marriage. Come out of there. Fear of sexual diseases. Come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Fighting, warring, violence. Come out of there. Filth. Filthy conversations. Filthy dreams. Filthy dreamer. Filthy mind and filthy imaginations. All you spirits, come out. Just keep coming out of the people of God in Jesus' name. Now all of the flashbacks. The evil memory recall spirits, memory recall, remembrance of evil past. All those spirits that want to play it over in your mind, over in your mind. Just come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Free love. Come out, free love. Come out of there. Frigidity. Come out of there. Come out. Hate for the body. Hate for the mind and hate for sex. Come on out in Jesus' name. Now you spirit of homosexuality, come out. Come out, demon. Come out of there. Come out of the people of God. Come out. Sodomy, come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Lesbianism, come out. Come out of the people of God. You say, well, that's one I know I ain't got, but I think Brother Worley said that several years ago, that it may not be in you. Okay, it may not be manifesting to you, but it's waiting for you and your husband to have a baby or you and your wife to have a baby, and he's going to manifest in that next generation. So don't just say, well, he didn't call one of me. That's good. I'm safe. You better yield and say, Lord, if it's in there, get it out of me. Because he's not interested in you. He's interested in your daughter in the future. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Spirit of the hustler. Well, we got Christian hustlers now. You can't tell them from the cowboys out there. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Come on out. Every one of you, come on out in Jesus' name. Idolatry of a man's body. Idolatry of a woman's body. And some of you at your jobs, this is the kind of the distraction here, but it's your job. They got the walk. They go along with your job. And my job is mobile refinery. They got a mobile walk, and they think they something. I was called over to a house to pray for a man that had a lot of sexual problems and things like that, and all he wanted to do was brag about his job. My goodness. So you might want to think about that. You might want to think about your walk and your idolatry of a man's body, idolatry of a woman's body. You could have picked up spirits there to draw attention to yourself. Spirits of immorality, come out. Impotence, partial impotence. Now we got all kind of pills you can buy now for impotence. Now buy the pill, right? No, I say go for Jesus. I think he can set you free. He's the one that'll set you right and stop masturbating. Spirits of impurity, sexual perversity, sexual thirst, and impure desires, come out in Jesus' name. Now the spirit of inability to give or receive love, come out. Spirits of incest, come out. Childish incest, childhood incest, and inherited incest. I break that curse in Jesus' name. I break that curse in Jesus' name. Command you to come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of incubus. You spirits of incubus that attack the females, I bind you, command you to come out. Come out of the people of God. Succubus, the demons that attack the male. In Jesus' name. If you're not familiar with those, there's a book in the back there on incubus and succubus. These are spirits that many times have come into the dream. Or they have can make actual physical manifestations present and have sex with an individual and hold them captive. And some of the individuals say, well, it's my deceased husband, I like it. Come out. Just come out of them in Jesus' name. Spirit of indecent exposure. Come out in Jesus' name. Inordinate affection. Inordinate affection. Inordinate desires. Just every inordinate affection. I think that's one of the reasons why we ought to just destroy all of the toy teddy bears and everything else that causes our children to have an inordinate relationship with us. They need to know that daddy loves them. That granddaddy loves them. That grandmother and mother loves them. And they don't need to take out try to build a relationship inordinately with some animal or some toys. I remember I had a spirit of inordinate affection in me. It was there. And I was praying to God. I said, God, you know, what is this? I don't know why I'm getting this strange feeling about myself. I have no desire for anyone. I have no desire sexually at all, but yet I have this feeling. I didn't know what it was. I didn't call it inordinate affection. I called it everything, but I couldn't think of his name. You know how God loves you so much? You know what he did for me? I went to sleep one night, and was this plane, this airplane that fly over sometime and give you a sign, say, go to Joe's for peace in the night. Well, on the plane, the banner says, inordinate affection. I woke up. I was pressing the shirt to go to the service that Sunday morning. And while I was pressing the shirt, I thought about it. I said, oh, God. I said, I break it. You spirit of inordinate affection. Come out. And I just started wheezing and coughing and everything. And that was so quick. And that's how much God loves you if you're really sincere about getting free. I was in a situation where I couldn't go to anybody. I was a young ministry growing. I just knew I had the manifestation, but I had enough sense to know also I didn't have the interest. Now, if you got the interest, you better go get some help. You better go get some help. I didn't have the interest, okay? It just was manifesting. He wasn't supposed to be there. So God was able to move sovereignly in my case and give me a dream to give me the name. And that's not the first time he's done that. Now, the spirits of kiddie sex, kiddie pornography, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Lasciviousness and lewdness, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Male chauvinism, you male chauvinist spirits, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of miscarriage. Miscarriage number one. Miscarriage number two. And on, all of the miscarriage spirits and all the death spirits that came in with them. All you death spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Stillborn, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Nervous breakdown, come out in Jesus' name. Now the night wet dreams, come out. We had an individual tell one of my workers that it was perfectly okay since he was single that God can masturbate him. Basically, that's what he was saying at night. I said, hogwash. I'm glad he's getting married soon. Spirit of nymphomania, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Nymphomania, male or female. And if you have that spirit, it would do you good to come forward and get prayer. It would do you good because the Lord showed me something about that earlier tonight. And that the individuals who wanted to be delivered from nymphomania can get free. An individual had enough guts to come up here and say they want to be free from that. Bound to get free. Hallelujah. Our God is good. Amen. Every spirit of obscenity, come out. Obscene language, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Peeping Tom, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Perversions, sexual perversion, perverse spirit, perverted sex, petting, heavy petting, promiscuous petting. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there, all you pedophile spirits, adult with boy spirits. Come out in Jesus' name, every one of you. All the spirits of pleasure and ungodly sex, come out of the people in Jesus' name. Now all the pornography spirits, from all the books that you may have read or you may have in your homes, suggest you clean your house out there. All the movies, come out of the spirits from all the movies or tapes or records that we may have heard. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits from Playboy, spirits from Hustler, spirits from Ebony, spirits from Adam and Eve, spirits from Masters and Johnson, all of the sexual experts, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there, Penthouse, Velvet, spirits from spirits working through the internet, and also from the catalog, Sears, Montgomery Ward's, J.C. Penney's, and others. Come out in Jesus' name. Now, you spirits of premeditated sex, come out, pressure on the rectum, rip rectum, stretch rectum. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Spirits of prostitution, harlotry, and whoredoms. Come out in Jesus' name. Now the spirit of rape. Come out in Jesus' name. Rape by anybody who's been raped, I command the spirit that came in and raped by that individual to come out in Jesus' name. You come out in Jesus' name, demon. You come out. God is moving sovereignly here. That's all I need to do is command you to go. You go now. You go in Jesus' name. Statutory rape. Come out in Jesus' name. Rebellion. Rejection. Resentment for men. Bitterness for men. Ungodliness, unforgiveness for men, excuse me. Resentment for women. Bitterness for women. Unforgiveness for women. All you God-hating spirits, come out. God-hating spirits, come on out of there in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Sadistic sex. All sadistic sex, come out. You were a party of that? Somebody misused you like that? Or you were wanted to do that thing? Or you did those things to other individuals? Either way, we want those spirits out. We cast you out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of the seducer, seduction, come out in Jesus' name. Self spirits, come out. Slavery, servitude, come out. All substitute sex, that's mechanical manipulation, come out in Jesus' name. Oral and masturbation, come out. Now the spirits working with defilement, suicide wish, death wish, come out. Symbolic sex, come out. Tormented sex, torture sex, trouble sex, come out. Now the spirits of trashy sex, trashy homosexual, come out in Jesus' name. Uncleanness, excuse me, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the spirits from the vaginal odors, in Jesus' name. I'm believing God for healing my eyes. I got a 1.25 magnification. I really need to get a little bit more magnification on there. I'm looking way down. I'm believing God that the anointing is going to help me. Ungodly desire for sex. Come out. Ungodly sexual relationships. Ungodly sex. Ungodly sexual attraction. Come out. Come out. Spirit of the vagina. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Vice. Voyeurism. Come out. Vulgar. Wantonness. Wild affection. All the witchcraft spirits. Wrong sex spirits. Come out. Come out, all of you ungodly spirits. Come out of the people of God. Come out of there in Jesus' name. You spirits that work in the vaginal muscles, ungodly grips and strong muscle contractions, come out in Jesus' name. Get out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of osmosis, all you marriage-breaking spirits, come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Every one of you, you have no right to stay anymore. We're destroying your house. We're spoiling your goods. You must go, every one of you, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, where these sexual spirits were, we ask God that you would fill those houses with the Holy Spirit, with the opposite of every one of those spirits. Hallelujah. I have one more I just want to deal with, just a second. Now, you spirits of nicotine, all of the nicotine spirits, slow death, dying, death, all of the complications associated with nicotine, tobacco, and smoking, in the name of the Lord Jesus, come out. Come out, every one of you, by the names of the cigarettes. It doesn't matter, whatever the name of the cigarettes are, you come out. You come out of the people of God right now. You demon of pride and vanity and cigarettes. It doesn't matter, I'm smoking, so who cares who sees? Oh, no. No, I don't care what it is. We ought to be trying to get delivered. We ought to be trying to come up and surrender ourselves before God. We shouldn't just be boasting. If you can get away with smoking, I ought to be able to get away with drinking in front of you and preaching right afterwards. That's a lie from the pits of hell. We got to lose our pride there and rebuke that spirit. You demon of pride, come out. The spirit of two fingers. Drive it with the two fingers. Come out. All those nicotine spirits, you come out of the people of God, you shaman spirits, and every one of you, all of you. In the name of Jesus, I just command all of you to go. You know I know all of your names, so just come out. Just come out of the people of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on out. Every one of you, come out of the people of God. Hallelujah. I thank God for your patience. I pray that you would be supporters of this work in prayer. And you pray for the Millers. They have been such faithful people. And I love them. And continue to pray for us and pray for the ministry down in Texas, that we'll continue to be faithful. And I hope that I deposited some things with you that will get you in an attitude that I'm ready to do the fight. I'm ready to do warfare. I'm ready to do what God has called me to do. I'm ready to fight the good fight of faith, to cast out devils, to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. Amen? And I hope we left that something with you there. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.